Good morning. So glad to have everybody here. Glad to have visitors with us. I hope you said hello to them and introduced yourself. I asked the Lord this week, what do you want me to preach on? I told you I'm changing up my preaching a little bit. And I want to do some upbeat encouragement preaching, talking about walking by faith and being able to take God at His Word. And he said, Samson. And I said, man, I don't want to preach about Samson. That's a drag. Because Samson started out following the Lord and he got presumptuous. And ended up costing him his life. So it may not be well received this morning, but I've been studying all week. I've been praying, and this morning the Spirit woke me up at about 1:45 and said, get up and study and pray. So that's what I did, and now I'm ready to preach. I'm here to tell you, there's nothing like spending time alone with Jesus. Yeah. I'm not bragging on me. I'm just saying that there's nothing like spending time alone with Jesus Christ and talking to Him. And if you listen, He'll talk to you. All right. We're in Judges chapter 16, verses 18 through 31. We have the word on the wall. I use the New English Translation, not because I'm backslidden. I just like the way that the New English words things. And this way everybody's in the same translation, if you care to read along with us. When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up again, for he has told me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hands. She made him sleep on her knees, and she called a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. And the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze shackles, and he ground at the mill in the prison. But the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. Now the lords of the Philistines gathered to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. And they said, our God has given Samson, our enemy, into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, our God has given our enemy into our hand. The ravager of the country, of our country, who has killed many of us. And when their hearts were merry, they said, call Samson, that he may entertain us. So they called Samson out of the prison, and he entertained them. They made him stand between the pillars, and Samson said to the young man who held him by the hand, let me feel the pillars on which the house rests, that I may lean against them. Now the house was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there, and on the roof there were about 3,000 men and women who looked on while Samson entertained. Then Samson called to the Lord and said, O Lord God, please remember me, and please strengthen me only this once, O God, that I may be avenged on the Philistines for my 2 eyes. And Samson grasped the 2 middle pillars on which the house rested, and he leaned his weight against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. Then he bowed with all his strength, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people who were in it. So the dead whom he killed at his death were more than those whom he had killed during his life. Then his brothers and all his family came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the tomb of Manoah his father. He had judged Israel 20 years. Father, I thank you that your word never returns to you void. It always accomplishes what you sent it out to do. Father, I pray that as we talk about this passage today, that we will learn from it, as the Apostle Paul has said, that these things were recorded for our learning, the church today. Lord, I ask if there's anyone here today that's flirting with sin, that's on the outer edges playing with it, that you would both rebuke them and encourage them to come back where they belong. If there's any here today that do not know you, I pray this will be the day of salvation, that they will not resist the voice of your Spirit. I thank you that you're in our midst, Lord, and I trust that you will work. I ask that you would let me decrease, that you might increase in me. Holy Spirit, use this word as your sword of truth. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Israelites had done evil again, and they were worshiping the Canaanite gods, and God gave them over to the Philistines for 40 years. It's sad when you read the beginning of the book of Judges. It said after Joshua and all the elders that knew Joshua and that knew God had died, Israel started chasing the gods of the other nations. And when you read about their conquest, you see very quickly they did not obey God. He told them when Joshua led them into Canaan, he said, don't make any covenants or confederacy. That's another word. We understand that word in the South. Don't make a confederacy with these people or their gods. Tear their altars down. Cut their gods down. Cut their groves down. Destroy them. He said, if you leave them here, they're going to be a snare to you, and I'll have to judge you. And that's exactly what happened. I think Israel's problem, and a lot of the church today, is they want to be like the other nations. Hey, we want to show you we're just as cool as you are. We can party like you. We can fudge on our beliefs. You know, you don't have to think we're religious fanatics. And every time in the book of Judges, when God would judge Israel for these sins, it was a little longer each time. The first time recorded, it was 8 years. Then it was 18 years. Now it's 20 years. God's trying to get their attention. You ever have a willful child? I was one. Yeah, my dad told me that. He said, out of all my children, you was the one that had to learn everything the hard way. This is the way the nation of Israel is. They are willfully disobeying God. But then when they would get in trouble, it said they would cry out to God. And I love this passage in Judges. It said God became impatient with their suffering. God had such a heart that when His children would turn to Him in repentance and say, God, we sinned against You, we deserve this, then God would raise up someone to get them out of it. And that's what we're going to talk about today. There was a man named Manoah, a Danite, who he and his wife didn't have any children. And one day, an angel of the Lord appears to her in the field, and he tells her, God's going to allow you to have a child, and it's very important, he said, that you don't drink wine, grape juice, you don't eat grapes, and you don't eat anything unclean, because he said, this child will be a Nazirite from his birth. And she went home and told her husband. He wasn't with her. And he prayed and he said, God, would you send him again? So the angel came back. And that time she went and got her husband. She said, will you wait here? He said, yeah, I'll wait here. Go get your husband. And when Manoah got there, he gave him the same message. And Manoah said, well, you need to tell us how to raise him. Well, it was already in the law, in the Nazirite vow. And Manoah said, what's your name so we can honor you when the child's born? And the angel said, you don't need to know my name. It's wonderful. You know, why do you want my name? The angel said, don't focus on me. Focus on God. I'm a messenger. I brought you this message. Now, the Nazirite vow, you can find it first mentioned in the book of Numbers. God says, if a man or a woman of Israel wants to take the vow of a Nazirite, They want to make a special vow to the Lord to separate themselves to the Lord. Now he focuses on the man who's made this vow. He shall separate himself from wine and strong drink. He shall no longer drink vinegar made from wine or strong drink. He shall not drink grape juice. He shall not eat grapes, fresh or dried, that'd be raisins. And all the days of his separation he shall eat nothing that is produced by the grapevine, not even the seeds or the skins. All the days he separates himself to the Lord he shall not go near a dead body, not even for his father or his mother, for brother or sister. If they die, shall he make himself unclean because of his separation to God? It is on his head. And all the days of his separation he is holy to the Lord. The Lord said anyone could willingly make a Nazirite vow. It was generally for a space of time. And with a man, the woman couldn't drink the wine either or eat anything unclean. But since the men a lot of times cut their hair and even some of them shave their heads, he said the whole time you're under this vow, don't cut your hair. Why? I don't know. Don't eat grapes. Why? I have no idea. I just know God said this is what I want you to do. But what's impressive to me is the Lord points out to them, you are separated for my service when you take that vow, and you are holy. And he said to the man, as long as that hair of consecration is on your head, it was a sign to the people around them, that man is set apart for God's service. And he said, you are holy to me. Wow. That's pretty cool. But you know, in the church, if you've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, that's how he sees you. Yeah, he said, you are holy. The Bible says he has placed his spirit within us to set us apart as his possession. Paul said to the church of Corinthians, you don't belong to yourselves anymore. You've been bought with a price. And what a great price it was. It was the blood of Jesus Christ. But I'm glad he doesn't say now that I can't get a haircut or I can't eat grapes or raisins because I kind of like both of them. I don't drink wine, but I like grape juice once in a while. That was a different dispensation. The church, do you understand we're called to be holy and separate from the world? That doesn't mean we build compounds with Constantine wire and claymores around the perimeter and say, we love the Lord, but we'll kill you if you get theirs. We're too holy. We don't want to be contaminated by the world. He called Samson to judge. Samson didn't have any choice. God told mom and dad, this is how you're going to raise him, and I'm going to use him to deliver Israel from the Philistines. And I'd be saying, really? We got to wait that long for this kid to grow up? And mama named him Samuel, and what I thought was cute, Samuel in Hebrew means the little judge. Aw, little judge. God gave us a little judge. I just thought that was cute. I'm surprised I didn't hear some of you women go, aw. Man. Said she had a name and called his name Samson. And the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him in Manasseh. Or Manadan, I'm sorry, between Zorah and Eshtal. That means, according to Dr. Adam Clark, that the Spirit of God, it wasn't that he began to cause him to do these great things. He stirred Samuel in his heart. And Samuel began to see the oppression of his people as he grew up. And he began to understand through the Holy Spirit that he was called as a servant to rescue them. We pray in the church, oh God, give us a burden for the lost. And that's an unscriptural prayer. If the Spirit of Christ is in you, that burden is there. You let it come up. That love and that compassion is already there because God has poured His love in you and in me through the Holy Spirit. It's there. Corrie Ten Boom shared that when she got out of Auschwitz, the Lord told her, I want you to begin to share the gospel of Jesus Christ in Germany. And she really struggled with that because the Germans had put her in prison camp for several years. She watched her dad and her sister die in that German camp. And when she finally surrendered and said, okay, she began to go around to the villages, especially the bombed out ones, and share the love of Christ. And at one meeting, she looked up and there sat one of the German guards. And she said all that bitterness started to rise up within her. She said he was one of them that used to make the women strip down to nothing. And then the German soldiers would stand there and talk lewdly. And they didn't understand or know that she knew German. Her dad insisted that she learn to speak German. She was Dutch. Nasty man. And she said at the end of the meeting, the man came forward and he said, dear sister, I don't know if you remember me. And you, oh yeah, I remember you. He said, I have given my heart to Jesus Christ and I've come here to ask you, would you please forgive me for what I did to you and the other women? And Corrie said there was so much anger boiling in her. She said, Lord God, I can't. And she said that scripture from Romans 5 came to her mind. Hope does not make us ashamed because the love of God has been poured abroad in our hearts. And she said, I knew God was telling me, I have given you the ability to forgive. You take the first step. And she said, she reached out and caught his hand. He had extended his hand. And she said, brother, I forgive you. And she said the peace of the Holy Spirit rose up inside of her, and she knew she had forgiven that man. Okay? The Spirit of God began to move on Samson. And it wasn't long before God began to work through this young man. Now, Samson had a thing for the women. That's good, in a way. I mean, I like women too. But he had a wandering eye that wasn't good. And one day he saw a Philistine woman and he came home to mom and dad and said, get her for me. And her dad said, son, isn't there any women among your own people? But it says it was from the Lord because he was seeking an occasion against the Philistine. Now, it was against the law of Moses for him to marry a Philistine. And it wasn't a racial thing. It was a spiritual thing. God told the Jews, don't intermarry with these people, because you'll start worshiping their gods and I'll have to judge you. Well, God made an allowance this time. Samson said he went and talked to her and she pleased him. Yeah, she was good to look at. Boys, I hope you'll take into deeper consideration when you think about marrying a young lady more than her looks, because looks change. I've met women who are beautiful on the outside and they're just as ugly as a mud fence on the inside. Got the personality of a brick. And some guys don't find that out until after they've been into the marriage for a while. I have counseled young couples coming and say, we want to get married. I go, why? Oh, we're in love. So that's not good enough. What else have you got? And they look at me like, love, it's all about love. No, that's going to wear down a few years, the infatuation. You better have something else you're going to stand on. When Prince Charming turns back into a frog, and you wake up, fella, one morning, and when you went to sleep, you was with Cinderella, and you wake up with the wicked stepmother, and you're wondering, what happened? You know, dating's a con, young people. You're both on your best behaviors. But after you get married, you relax, don't you? Guy lets his belly hang a little more. He's not hunting anymore, so he doesn't have to stay in shape and look good. Women stop wearing their makeup, put on a few pounds where it's hard to see their eyes. And Samson looks at this young woman and says, ooh, man, I like her looks. Get her. Mom and Dad have spoiled this young man, so Dad goes and makes the arrangement. And then Samson leaves. And one day he's walking through a vineyard and a lion attacks him, and the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came on him. and he tore the lion apart, but he didn't tell mom and dad. Why? Well, he's not supposed to touch dead animals or people. And a lion was unclean. But he was defending himself, and God honored that by allowing his spirit to come on him. Samson didn't do it on his own. The Spirit of the Lord enabled him to kill this lion. And he goes back and talks to the young woman. It says she pleases him, and he goes home. Well, in this culture, there would have been about 1 year waiting period for the marriage. So Samson's coming back, and he sees these bees in the lion's carcass, and it says he scrapes out some honey and eats it, and he takes it to his mom and dad, and he lets them eat it, but he doesn't tell them where it came from. Why? Because he took it out of the carcass of a lion, it would make the honey unclean. A Nazarite shouldn't have been eating it, but we see God allowing it. He marries this woman, and he puts a riddle to her. It said the Philistines, and this was a custom, they gave him 30 companions, and they were supposed to be your friends and friends of the bride, but they allowed these 30 companions to be with Samson, and one of them was the best man. And Samson said, I'll put a riddle to you, which was not uncommon at these marriages, and it was a riddle with a wager, and he said, you solve my riddle, and I'll get each one of you a change of clothes. 30 changes of clothes. 30, today it'd be like 30 new suits. I'm going to give you 30 suits. But if you can't answer it, you got to give me 30 suits. Most people back then owned one or two changes of clothes. Man, 30's a lot. I had a daughter who could go through that in a week. I kid you not. That kid would come in there 5 times a day, and she'd walk out wearing different clothes than she had when she'd come in. What'd you do? Well, I got some dirt on my clothes. So you're going to dirty 5 pairs of clothes during one day. Thank you. We don't have anything else to do here but wash your clothes. And it says he put the riddle to him. Out of the eater came something to eat. Out of the strong came something sweet. And he gave him 7 days. And it said after 4 days, they got mad because they couldn't figure it out. So they came to his wife and said, you better find out what that riddle is, or we're going to burn you and your dad. It said for 3 days, she whined. That's my interpretation of the Hebrew. She cried, she whined, she hung on him and said, you don't love me. You won't tell me the answer to the riddle. And Samson said, I didn't even tell my mom and dad. Why should I tell you? Yeah, for 3 days, you don't love me. And Samson couldn't handle that. So he finally told her the answer, and she went and told these 30 guys, and at the end of 7 days, they said, what's stronger than a lion? What's sweeter than honey? And Samson said, if you hadn't plowed my heifer, you would not have figured that out. I love that. If you hadn't plowed my heifer, women today would jump, did you just call me a heifer? The Greeks, the Hebrews, and the Latins I read all use that phrase. You know what it meant? If you hadn't caused my wife to cheat on me, she's been unfaithful to me, she has defiled our bed. That's how he took it. It was a nice way of saying your wife was cheating on you. Well, how did she cheat on him? Because she loved her dad and the companions more than she loved her husband. And it said the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson, and he went to this other town. He killed 30 guys and brought their suits back and gave them to him. I wondered if one of them said, honey, can you get this stain out? I don't know what it is, but you know, I got these new clothes, but there's something in this. And he was angry, and he walked off. He left the wedding. He left his wife. And it said later, about a year later, he decides he wants to go see her. So he takes a goat, a young goat, a kid, and he goes down to see her. And her dad said, wait a minute, I thought you hated her, so I gave her to your best man. And he said, you can't go to her. He said, look, her younger sister's pretty, just like she is. Why don't you take her for your wife, and everything will be square. And I said, Samson said, no, I'm going to get a vengeance on the Philistines. So he caught 300 foxes, tied their tails together, and put a torch between them, and he lit the torches. This was during the wheat harvest. And I don't know if any of you have ever seen it. You might if you go around the Amish farms. They would cut the wheat and tie it into shocks. and set it upright. And then when the wheat had time to dry, in those days they would beat it out or they'd run a cartwheel around it, dump it on the ground, run a cart back and forth to break it up. And Samson turned those foxes loose in there and they set all their wheat field on fire. God hit them economically. And said, Samson also set the olive orchards on fire. And Samson said, okay, we're even. I got my vengeance. Well, the Philistines find out he did it, so they went to his wife and father-in-law and burned them alive. Samson goes, oh, if you're going to do that, then I'm going to get vengeance again. You see where it's going? Nobody called. No seconds. No paybacks. You ever do that as a kid? Hit somebody in the arm going, no paybacks. You can't hit me back. I always got hit back. But I used to say that because we used to say that. No paybacks. And Samson said, I'm going to get vengeance. And he went to a town and said he smote them hip and thigh. I like that. He put the whammy on them. And then he went to a place called the Rocks of Etam. Etam was a fortress that sat on a hill. Samson thought, I better lay low for a while. And he went up to a walled area from a hill where he could see people coming. Philistines got so mad and said they started raiding these villages and they got to this one Jewish village. And they said, what's the problem, man? We haven't done anything to you. They said, Samson. So it said 3,000 of these men went up to the top of this hill and they told Samson, we're here to take you to the Philistines because, man, they're jacking us up. And Samson said, if you give me your word that you won't kill me, I'll go. So they tied him up with two new ropes. That made him strong. They're green. They're strong. And they carried him down there. It said when the Philistines saw Samson, they shouted. And it said the ropes became like flax heated with fire. And the ESV says the ropes around his hands melted. We always think Samson went, but he didn't. God just made him extra hot. And the radiant heat from his body melted those ropes. You know, while I'm on that subject, I want to mention something I didn't at first. Samson was an average-looking Jewish man, probably 5'9", 150 pounds. And the Philistines would look at him and say, what makes him so strong? Well, they believed in magic, so they thought it was magic. Well, when they shout, those ropes melt, and there's a jawbone of a donkey laying there, and Samson picks it up, and he goes in there, and he's taking name and thumping heads, and he kills 1,000 men. And the commentator said he sings a song, is what the Hebrew said. Heaps upon heaps with a jawbone of a donkey, I've killed 1,000 men. I don't know the tune. There's no music with it. It just says that Samson sings his victory song. And he throws the jaw down. He's done. But then he's thirsty. I imagine killing people would have to take it out of you, especially 1,000. And he prays and says, Lord God, you gave me this great delivery. Are you going to let me die of thirst? And the King James makes a mistake. This is from the commentators, not me, from the language experts. It says, God claved a space out of the jawbone. It caused water to come out. They said that is a bad interpretation. He said there was a hollow on this hill and water started bubbling up out of it, a spring. And they said it's still there to this day. So I doubt that there's a jawbone laying there sprinkling water out 3,000 years later, 2,000, however it is. Samson gets a drink and he's refreshed. If you've ever been in spiritual warfare, you'll know this thirst. If you ever hunger for the righteousness of God and to be more like Jesus Christ, you know that thirst. And we serve the Lord who has the living water. Man, I was reading that this morning, going back over that, and the Holy Spirit revealed that to me, and I said, praise God, that's the truth. Now, if you're not serving the Lord, if you're not doing anything for the Lord, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But those of you who pray, Those of you who seek God and say, Lord, I want to know you, you're going to know what I'm talking about. Because the devil doesn't take that lying down. And he will come at you, and if you're smart, you will in the spirit resist him. But I'm going to tell you, it wears you out. I try to make Monday my day off because after preaching on Sunday, I'm wore out. This is a street fight every time I get up here. Not with you, but with the demons. With the devil. Well, who do you think you are? I'm nobody special, but I'm doing what God's told me to do, and I've learned over 15 years of doing this, I meet resistance. And I'm sorry to say, a lot of it comes from the church. And I can go to my Savior, and He gives me rivers of living water, and He refreshes me. And He says, you just keep doing what I'm telling you to do. So Samson figures, now we're even. And it says he meets a woman named Delilah. That's where we come in. In fact, the scriptures say that he loved her. And something that you notice right away, it doesn't say this was from the Lord. Here's where we see God and Samson start to part ways. He fell in love with a woman in Sorek named Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came to her and they said, we'll give you 1,100 pieces of silver apiece. There were five lords over five districts. That's 5,500 pieces of silver. I have no idea how much that is in our currency, but back then it was buku bucks. And Samson, who had an eye for the women, falls in love with this woman and she doesn't love him. She loves the money. And she said, I'll do it. And I realized something. Samson was blind long before they gouged his eyes out. One night they're sitting there and she's got his head on her knees and she's petting him, talking words of love. And she says, by the way, baby, how come you're so strong? See, they believed in magic charms. You know, and if you had these magic charms, there were certain things you couldn't resist, like the cross with the vampire in the mythologies and the fables. Oh, yeah, you hold that cross up, that old vampire, he can't handle that. They said, find out the secret of his magic, is what they're asking her. We know it has to be magic because this guy, he's not buffed up. He's just an average-looking guy, but boy, is he stout. He said, well, if you tie me up with seven fresh sinews, the English says bowstrings. The commentators say they are sinews of cattle. And they would take them when they were green and dry them out. A lot of times they use them for bowstrings or they braided them into ropes, very strong. So she ties him up with seven bowstrings. I'm thinking, what's going on in his head? I told her seven bowstrings, and she ties me up with seven bowstrings. He goes right over the top of his head, and she said, Samson, the Philistines are on you. And said, he gets up and breaks them strings. And she said, you don't love me. You've deceived me. He goes, oh, okay. If you tie me up with two brand new ropes that's never been used, I'll become weak like any other man. And again, she gets him back in bed, and she's petting his head, and all. And he goes to sleep, and she has a guy tie him up with two new ropes. And she says, Samson, the Philistines are on you. And he jumps up and breaks the ropes. And I'm wondering, where's this guy's head? He's told her two times, and she's done it both times. And what he told her was how to make him weak, and she's trying to make him weak, and he thinks it's a game. He is playing with sin. Samson is about to be captured because of the jawbone of a donkey. The Bible says the lips of the adulteress are smoother than oil. They speak flattery to a young man. They promise him pleasure. But God said, in the end, her path leads to death. And Solomon said, I observed a simple young man without any discretion walk by her house, and she reached out and caught him and said, hey, my husband's gone till the full moon, and I have decked my bed with cinnamon and all these spices. Let's come together and take our fill of love for the night, because he took a whole bag of money and he won't be home. And Solomon talks about how that young man goes in there like a sheep to slaughter. He said he doesn't know that her path leads to death and to Sheol. And he says he goes in without understanding, without any discretion, and he's captured. Here's a man of God, supposed to be filled with the Spirit of God, supposed to be discreet and wise because of the Spirit that's in him, and he's playing with this hussy. And she's testing him, and he's letting her do it, and he thinks it's funny. It's a game. It says she starts bawling again and said, look, you've mocked me twice. What is the secret of your strength? And he said, well, if you take the 7 locks of my hair and you weave them into a loom and you weave them into the web and you put a loom pin in there and tighten it, then I'll be weak. So he goes to sleep again. If I was him, I'd think something's up when I wake up and all this stuff's going on. And she did what he said, and she said, Samson, the Philistines are on you. And he jumps up and he pulls the whole loom out, the web, the pin, everything. And now she's really mad. She's 5,500 pieces of silver waiting on this. Samson thinks that she loves him. Young people, that's the deceitfulness of sin. This world will promise you a pleasant life, a good life, and it lies. Sin lies. Sin promises you rewards, and I'm going to tell you, you get a reward, but it's not what you thought you was going to get. We had the sexual revolution in the 60s. I was a kid, and I remember they talked about it all over the news. Now we have AIDS. People are dying by the thousands of AIDS. That's God's answer to the sexual revolution. You want to breed like rabbits, then you get everything that comes with it. If you're not discreet, it's your fault. And that passage I was quoting from Proverbs 5, God says the young man will groan within his body, within his sickness. And the commentators say what Solomon was talking about was syphilis. Because in those days, syphilis was a death sentence. They didn't have penicillin. You died. And he said, the young man will say, how I hated reproof. How I wished I'd have listened to my teachers. Too late, Charlie. And it said she finally began to cry and to vex his soul almost to death. And she said, you really don't love me. And it said he couldn't take it anymore. And he said, look, no razor's ever come upon my head because I'm a Nazarite. And it said she knew then that he had told her the truth, so she made him go to sleep again, petting on him, loving on him, and had a barber come in and give him a haircut. Only recorded haircut in the Bible, and he went blind because of it. And it says she starts tormenting him, and he becomes weaker and weaker and weaker. That's what sin does. It's a cruel taskmaster. It'll take you places you don't want to go. I'm telling you from experience, especially young people, oh, I hope you'll listen to me. And she said, Samson, the Philistines are on you. And to me, this is the saddest passage in the book of Judges. It says, Samson gets up and says, I will shake myself like I have every other time. And he did not know that the Lord had left him. Paul said, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall persecution, tribulation, nakedness, or the sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Do you notice in that list sin wasn't on the list? God says, my arm is not too shortened to save you, but it is your sins that separate you from me. Now, I don't know where you're at, Christian. I've had Christians tell me, well, all your sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven. Well, then you just gave yourself a license to sin. It doesn't matter. God's going to forgive me. That's what Samson was doing. He was playing with sin. God told Moses, the soul that sins presumptuously shall die. Samson, it became all about Samson. I'll just shake myself like I always do, and I always win. And he was so hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, the Bible says he didn't realize God had left him. What a dangerous place to get into, child of God. Paul said, don't be hardened by sin. And you know what he said? One of the main causes of it is bitterness. Poor me. How dare they treat me like that? I'm going to share something with you that happened yesterday. I shared with some of the others. I was on my Harley. I was going home, and this lady was going to make a left-hand turn, and I was going to make a left-hand turn. And bless her heart, she stopped and went, go on. Thank you. And I went to turn, and this idiot behind her in a pickup pulling the trailer goes around her on the shoulder. And I stood up on the ground of that hog, and I glared at him. And I just thought, just look at me. And the thought came to me, I'm going to turn this bike around. I'm going to follow him. And when he pulls over, I'm going to drag him out of that truck and tell him that the wickedness of his ways. You shouldn't have done that. You could have hit me. Boy, I was mad. And I thought, the thought came to me, an elder is not to be a brawler. Okay, well, all right. And I left. And when I got home and I was getting stuff together to come back to church, I got madder. The more I thought about it, I said, Lord, I won't hit him. I just want to talk to him. I want to chew him out. Well, I didn't know where he was. And the Lord said, an elder is not to be a brawler. So I come back here. I unload my pickup. I go out and get in the pickup. We'll start. Oh, well, I've had bad battery connections, so I get out, and I'm trying like five times to shift the cables, and it won't start. So I get my tools out, and it's funny, when I open my tool case, my 7/16 wrench just pops up out of the holder. So I grabbed it, and it was the one I needed. I start undoing the screws, and I get that back together, and I jump in there, click, got it. So I go out there, and I have to take my positive cable. Long story short, I'm sweating like a hog. It is hot, and I get it together, and I finally get the truck started, and the Spirit of God says, still want to chase him down? I'm too hot, Lord. I'm too tired. I don't want to chase him down. Sometimes I think, you know, you could be a little less assertive, but he knew what I needed. I was flirting with sin. If I'd have went after that guy, it'd have been a willful choice. And I had it in my mind. I was going to say, you know, you hear a lot of bad things about bikers, and there's good bikers and bad bikers. Right now, I'm one of the bad ones. No, I'm not. I'm a child of God. The Spirit of God within you is saying, man, it's not up to you to take vengeance. I'll take care of him. Samson is put in bronze fetters, which bronze always represents judgment in the Bible. His eyes were poked out with a stick. That could not be pleasant. And they put him to grinding mill, on a grinding mill in the prison. So imagine Samson spends a few years just walking in circles every day and thinking about what he's done and what's happened because of his sin. The consequences of his sin are right in front of him. And as I said, he was blind long before they gouged his eyes out. He didn't realize that he had put a stop to his relationship with God Almighty. It says they have this party, and they're praising their God, Dagon. This is where they're getting in trouble. Our God gave Samson to us, and God said, no, I gave him to you. And said, when they're married, that means when they had a good drunk on, they said, let's get Samson out here to entertain us. And Samson entertains him. He doesn't have any other choice. But his hair grew back. I don't think any of them caught that. Hey, that boy's got long hair again. Last time he was like that, we was in a world of hurt. But they think God's done with him. It says, Samson asked the boy to put his hands on the pillars, and he says, God, one more time, strengthen me. But it's still about him. He doesn't say, strengthen me for your glory. He says, strengthen me so I can get even with them for putting my eyes out. But God does it. I don't know why. I think it's because these people were praising a false god and claiming their god was stronger than Samson's god. And God says, baby. So Samson pushes on those support pillars and the whole building comes down. He's killed, but 3,000 Philistines die. Now, what's the moral of this story? God has said, your sins can separate you from me. Christian, if you want to play in the devil's territory, you're in a bad place. And you can get so deceived by sin that you won't hear the voice of the Holy Spirit anymore. That's a dangerous place for a child of God. He may woo you to the very edge of the pit. But the Scriptures say a man who hardens his neck when he is often reproved will be cut off suddenly without remedy. Yeah, but that's the Old Testament, man. That's the old dispensation. We're under a better dispensation, the blood of Jesus Christ. How much worse punishment shall be thought worthy of those who trample that blood under their feet and count it as unholy? God doesn't change, okay? He calls you just as you are, with all your sin, with all your bad habits, but he has no intention of leaving you that way. Don't play with sin, church. I don't see how Samson couldn't have realized, this woman's out to hurt me, because every time I tell her what to do, she does it. That's the deceitfulness of sin. Samson thought he was in control the whole time, and what did he find out? Very sadly, he was not in control. Now, God in his mercy allowed Samson to die. But it was sad to me when he says, that I may be avenged in my two eyes. It's still about me, God. God goes, okay. Where are you at this morning? Are you a child of God, playing in the sin of the world, flirting with it, thinking it's okay? Guys, are you looking at porn on the internet? You don't have to go to the bookstores anymore and get a brown paper bag and carry a book out. You can go right on the internet. 40% of ministers surveyed admitted that they looked at pornography on their computer in their office. Are you one of them? Man, we think that's just terrible, but that's the day we live in. Paul said people will have a form of godliness, but they'll deny the power of it. This is what I see in our day. Now, there are still people that are faithful to God, faithful to the call of Jesus Christ, but there's a lot of other churches that aren't. And I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Spirit has left there, and they don't even realize it. I don't ever want that to happen here. And as God is my witness, as long as I'm here, I will fight that tooth and nail every inch of the way. Where are you at this morning? Would you stand with me, please? First John chapter 1 says that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. The Scriptures say, he who confesses and forsakes his sin shall find mercy. You can do that today. You don't have to come up front to do it. You can do it right where you sit. If you're struggling and you need to talk, I'll stay here till everybody's gone. I'll be glad to talk with you. If you've never received Jesus Christ, there's no other name by which you must be saved or may be saved. You can't do it with good works. You have to receive what he did on the cross and let yourself be washed in that blood, that holy blood that'll make you pure. If you need to do that, will you come as we sing the song of invitation, please?
Death into life everlasting.